Sponsored by 1010 Podcasts.
The Celtic Exchange, a fresh insight on Celtic Football Club.
A massive 3 points for Celtic as goals from Rayo Hatate and Georgios Giakoumakis are enough to get us over the line on a frantic night at Tynecastle. This is Tino, this is the Final Whistle Show, and tonight I'm joined by James. James, what's your immediate reaction to that one?
Just as you say, a huge, huge 3 points. Some of you boys were talking last night about the three games coming up, and obviously there's two tough ones after that, but this was the one we really needed. To, you know, if you could count the five games as a run, you need to get off to a flyer, but Hearts away is a tough fixture any time. But kicking off the run we've got, it was huge to get the 3 points, and they did it.
Yeah. I'm not being arrogant in any way. I feel tonight was the toughest challenge out of the three games. We've got Dundee United at home now on Saturday. We've got Rangers next Wednesday. And I think that's the toughest fixture. I really do. So time will tell if I'm right with that one. But a huge 3 points and just so important to go over the line. So what we'll do, we'll take it right back to the start. We'll look at the starting lineup. Call it, James, but I predicted this about 3 days ago.
So you do what I call it.
So, listen, it was fairly predictable, but starting lineup, we managed to nail that pre-match. So, Joe Hart in goals, Juranovic right-back, Greg Taylor left-back, Carter Vickers and Starfelt in the centre. Beaton came in, captained the club from centre midfield, with debutant Matt O'Reilly and Rio Hatate next to him. Up top, you had Forrest to the right, Jota to the left, and Georgios Giakoumakis through the middle. What did you think when you seen the lineup coming out?
Like you said, there was options. I mean, you've got options of Scales, McCarthy, things like that. But besides that, I think it pretty much picked itself. Even though you're talking about guys like Matt O'Reilly coming in, having signed just a few days ago, I'd have been very surprised if he hadn't started because we'd lost that creativity with Rogic going away. So the only one I would have changed personally is just a personal preference of Scales for Taylor. I think that bore out through the game, but I don't think there's an awful lot in it between the two at the moment. So, yeah, it was a good, strong lineup.
Yeah, so you're saying it was pretty predictable and I shouldn't be getting any credit
exactly.
at all.
Exactly.
Just so we're clear. So, yeah, I thought it was kind of, to an extent, the only lineup Ange could have gone with. He could have maybe changed Beaton for a McCarthy. I think McCarthy's not ready. Taylor over Scales, there's a wee debate. Forrest over Abada, but fairly predictable across the board. I was so, so pleased to see Rayo Hatate start, which I thought was never in doubt, and O'Reilly was always going to be a kind of 50-50. Those two guys showed some real class in the first half. Listen, they burnt out like you might expect, but I think Celtic overall were exceptional first half, and those two guys plus Jota were all the reasons for that.
Yeah, I mean, if you get everyone back fit and back from international, these things, the level of creativity and the options Ange's going to have at his disposal are going to be really important coming into the final few months of the season. They've really added, those two guys have added a lot in Hatate and O'Reilly. And I was excited to see O'Reilly because what I had seen of him and what I'd heard from him, it just seemed like it would fit for Celtic, and it looks like it has.
Yeah, there was comments that he, to all intents and purposes, is almost a mirror image of Tom Rogic. You know, he's got the same kind of language style, kind of lazy looking, but just that's just how he plays. Cultured left foot and always looking to go forward. You know, yeah. He's not looking to do anything negative. And in the first half, you know, caught some of the, you know, kind of post-match highlights between the three of them, as I mentioned, him, Jota, Hatate, some of the interlink and some of the, you know, the interchange in play was just frightening and pacey.
Yeah, but it's three intelligent footballers. You know, the football intelligence, the level of football intelligence they have individually and collectively allows that kind of football to happen. I think there's another side to O'Reilly that he shares with Rogic in terms of he's not easily pushed off the ball. He's a strong physical guy as well, which is really important.
Yeah. Want to spend a wee bit of time on Jota. Were you surprised at just how much he hit the ground running after being out for so long?
No, I mean, a lot of that's reflex and instinct for guys like Jota. Fitness is, you know, one thing. You'd maybe want him to kind of just kind of bed in some minutes and get game time, but in terms of instinct, he was having all the flicks and tricks and moves and making the right runs, and, you know, showing his upper body strength as well, so he's not, you know, diminished in any way.
Yeah, I seen Michael Smith, the Hearts fullback, just pulling a flanker and just kind of need an injury.
Did
just
didn't fancy
forget getting up against Jota for 90 minutes or 60 minutes as it happened.
Tag.
But I thought he looked extremely dangerous moving forward. He found space. He had several efforts himself. He laid on a few for teammates. He also, there was one real notable time, I don't know, half an hour or so in, where he's tracked back almost his own left back position, slide tackle, rolls the ball under his foot and you know, finds his pass. I think he's a phenomenal footballer, and it will be a masterstroke if Celtic can keep a hold of him, and here's hoping we can.
Yeah, I mean, if you get one season from him, you know, it'd be an important season to do well in, but I really hope they can do the business there. It's becoming so essential to Ange's future plans for Celtic. Yeah.
I think Miff said to us a while back on one of the shows, never make the mistake of falling in love with a lone player. I'm in deep, James. Yeah, so yeah. I'll need to see how I got on with that one. Let's get to the goal. So, Rio Hatate gets the opener, 27 minutes. A brilliant strike, somewhere between 25 and 30 yards out. He's actually done all the pressing himself. Mm. I think he gave the ball away initially, so, you know, call it what it is. But he then hounds the Hearts midfielder. He doesn't quite win it back, but he forces a guy to give it away to Beaton, who was decent on the night. Yeah. Beaton bounces it off very quickly to Hatate. He's striding forward. My gut instinct at the time is slot Jota in the left-hand channel. What do I know? Because he's absolutely leathered it, and it's flown into the net.
Yeah, I didn't even see the Jota run. I thought it was laid up for a crack, as I was saying. Go yourself. He's just absolutely leathered it. It's got movement on it as well. It's going to bending and stuff. I think Gordon tries to be a bit of a smart ass and go for a TV save. Didn't work out for him too bad. And it's just right in the back of the net. It's a peach.
Yeah, it's a brilliant strike. There was a bit of commentary, I think Andy Walker saying Craig Gordon on top form saves that. I just wonder if there's that much movement and that much pace on it. Do you know, when you see it slowed down and yeah, it kind of looks like it goes through Gordon's hands, that's fine in super slow-mo, but it's coming at him about 200 miles an hour.
Yeah.
So I'm just not sure if anyone can do that. It's coming through a few bodies. But I just think it's a brilliant strike. And I think adding goals from midfield has got to be a huge plus for Celtic. Hatate's going to get goals and O'Reilly's going to do the same.
Definitely. And we'd be missing that. You know, Turnbull's thrown a fair few goals as well. But that's kind of dropped off from his game to a degree. So adding that, I mean, I just have to say they're far more creative players than Turnbull, so they're more Ange players, I would say.
Yeah, there's a real challenge for Turnbull and Rodgers to get back in when they do get back to fitness, but I think, or from international as well for Rodgers, but I think that's a great challenge and a great problem for Ange to have, because we'll get to it, but what we did see again tonight is when he looks down the bench in the last 20 minutes, half an hour, when he needs to call on guys, he didn't have that real quality. We ended up bringing on Abada for Jota, we brought in McCarthy, we brought in Soro towards the end. I think he'd have loved to have looked down at his bench and seen a creative, whether it be Rodgers or Turnbull, or, you know, certainly Callum McGregor will come back into the fold, Maeda, Kyogo. There's so much quality to come back for Celtic, and actually it can't be dismissed how big it is to win there tonight with half a team missing.
Yeah, I mean, in a perfect world, you've got Gucci holding the midfield there with maybe McGregor and Rogic in front of him.
I forgot about wee Gucci.
Aye. And then you look down your bench, you get Hatate and O'Reilly to come on.
Yeah.
So that's a totally different game for Celtic at full strength. So I know it was a wee bit kind of threadbare and the options weren't there, but that'll come back. You know, we were just about getting to full strength and then Alba had other ideas, but that'll come back in time in the next few weeks and months.
Yeah, but I think huge credit overall for getting over the line tonight with so many players missing, and it can't be underestimated how important that could be. So the second goal, we've not had to wait too long. It's Giakoumakis. A lot of talk about Giakoumakis, a lot of pressure on his shoulders. Is he good enough? Is he not? I thought he's stood up to be counted tonight, particularly in the last 10 minutes where he showed his strength and he gives you that out ball when you really need it. But his goal's a bit of class. So again, Hatate heavily involved. He finds O'Reilly on the right-hand side. He's played a very good ball, low and hard across the box. I don't know if he was offside. I hope he was miles off, just for fun. And Giakoumakis has shown a bit of class and a bit of savvy just to flick it in. It's a real quality goal.
Yeah, I mean, the build-up play itself and, you know, O'Reilly's chance creation on the night was just ridiculous stats. But it's a ball we've not been seeing enough of. And a run maybe not be seen off a big strong guy with a defender on his back. I think that game really suited Giakoumakis. He loves playing with a big physical guy beside him because he knows he can handle that. He can handle the physicality. I mean, he's someone like O'Reilly just slipping in perfect deliveries like that. I think actually Berra made a good point in the commentary that if he tries to take it with his right foot, Suter might get across it and he just lets it go through and slips it in.
Yeah, it was a really clever goal. Yeah. And Shadu has confidence of World League as well. Yeah. So obviously, two goals in two games. He looked really pleased with his night's work at the end and he was right to take the plaudits that he'll go on to get.
Yeah.
So first half at half-time, you've no complaints at all, have you?
No, you've played all the football. You've had all the possession, had all the chances. You're absolutely coasting, but coasting isn't something that football teams should ever do.
Yeah. So the second half, Hearts have... They've clearly had a rocket. You know, they've not offered much in the first half and they've come out and they've lifted their game. I think the game really has changed on the point where Jota goes off. And 100%. it sounds obvious to say now, but Jota goes off in 60 minutes. They've scored almost immediately. That can be coincidental. But, I mean, see if you're a Hearts team and you're huffing and puffing a bit and then the most dangerous player in the park, you know, his night's over, that naturally gives you a lift. I've got to be honest with you, I think it was the wrong call by Ange.
Mm-hmm.
I think when you look across the board... I understand he's been careful with players and you don't want to risk guys. That game's not done at 2-0, you know, and we nearly found that out the hard way. For me, James Forrest was struggling far more. And I think if you're picking who to pull, I think Forrest comes off there. So, you know, what do you think the thinking was?
Well, I think, furthermore, when Forrest goes left to let Abada go right, and we weren't getting much from Taylor on left, so it actually killed the whole flank for Celtic, that move. You know, not just the substitution, but you've killed your left flank because nothing was really going on there after that sub. For me, yeah, as well. I thought James should have gone off. He was just ready to go off. I agree. It's the wrong call. And you'd say, got away with it. Getting away with it's the very phrase. Yeah. Not the head's been down, but Hart's certainly got a lift from it. Why wouldn't you? As you say, you know, the biggest threat against you is no longer there.
Yeah. Hart's got a lift from it. But also, if you're a Celtic player or a Celtic midfielder and you go...
One less out.
We've lost that guy there who was giving us all the creativity.
Yeah.
There's no doubt that Hatate tired. He had a very good game, but he tired, as would be expected. I think he's only played 70 minutes in a month, is what Andrew was saying. O'Reilly, he's just in the door. He definitely puffed out and eventually went off. And I just wonder if that was the wrong call. Ange may counter that by saying, you know, he needs to keep Rogic for big games against Dundee United and Rangers. Jota, sorry. Those games don't matter if you don't get the 3 points tonight.
Get the 3 points first and then see who you've got available.
Yeah. So, as mentioned, Hearts have got that lift. So, in 62 minutes, Boyce has scored. Probably offside.
Aye. So, I would say of the two goals, VAR would probably let Giakoumakis away with it. I think he's in line. Boyce is clearly offside. But making manual offside calls is a physically impossible thing to do. I need to look at two things at the same time in different directions. It's physically impossible.
Yeah.
And where is VAR that just sorts all that out?
Yeah, unless the linesman's got a couple of lazy eyes, he can't possibly look at the pass from one side, you know, his left eye, and look at the pull on the right. I think both of the calls could have gone either way, if truth be told. Giakoumakis could have been off or on, as could a Boyce. So we certainly need to accept Boyce's goal if we're accepting Giakoumakis's, and that's fine. I do think, listen, plenty of talk about him at different times, Starfelt wasn't too clever for the goal. Certainly in the build-up, he's pushed a guy in the air. The ref's played on and he's just, you know, he's not at the races and they've slipped him in. It wasn't clever defending all round though, was it?
That move or Starfelt's night?
That move.
Yeah, I mean, there was no control. It was kind of sloppy positioning, no real structure and no real awareness of where the ball and the opposition players were. So that'll be something I've no doubt that Angel have picked out that needs to be worked on. I thought Carter Vickers had a great game throughout, so I can't fault him too much for that, but Starfelt just needs to sharpen up. I thought this was going to be a really strong game for Starfelt. You know, he played really well against Hearts last time at Parkhead, and it just didn't quite click for him tonight.
Yeah, Carter Vickers was certainly exceptional. Starfelt, not the worst game, but, you know, a couple of shaky moments, no doubt. Let's fast forward to the 73rd minute. Hearts won a penalty, and I think on paper, when you see it, I think it is, apparently. When we win the league, James, are we going to look back on this missed penalty from Boyce as a pivotal moment in the race?
Yeah, I mean, it certainly felt that way, you know, because I couldn't see us. We were under the cosh. We were camped in. We couldn't get out our own half. So if they had got that goal, we might be looking at escaping with a point there and potentially losing all three. So just a huge miss from Boyce that, and it, you know, even when he missed it, I thought, oh, that's getting off. And it didn't, and it's so close. So, yeah, I think we'll all be looking back on this one come May.
Yeah, you make your own luck in this game, they say, but it was so close. And as you say, as it's coming away from hitting the post, it could have hit Joe Hart or anything. Aye. It was so close. But listen, they're the breaks that you sometimes need, and you know, we've got away with one there, because I do think at that stage in the game, 73, 74 minutes, we might have struggled to get back in it. Two each, I wonder if that game plays out and we don't get the 3 points. So yeah, it's huge overall. At that point, Celtic, I feel to a huge extent, are hanging on. You know, some people have said, you know, fairly comfy. I don't think so. And as mentioned, Ange could see the energy draining from his team. He's looked to make his changes. So O'Reilly, listen, he's had a great shift, and we'll cover him again in a wee minute because he picked up the man of the match. But on 80-odd minutes, maybe 85 minutes, he's down with what looks like cramp, to be expected. Young guy, frantic pace, and he goes off. James McCarthy comes in. James McCarthy still looks off the pace. Don't want to dwell on it. He made some important interceptions, but there was stuff he could have done better. And then beyond that, 93rd minute, Sorrow comes in for Hatate. You're playing down the clock and, you know, running down the game and using your head, but we were up against it at that stage.
Yeah, and guys like Hatate and Forrest, I mean, Hatate was just absolutely spent, and in a different game, he wouldn't have to play the whole 90. Forrest shouldn't have played the whole 90 just because he wasn't giving us anything. So it was, I actually thought about 87, 88, and it's not that Hearts lost belief, but I just think they'd done their tank, and it just got a wee bit easier at that point, which meant that the 6 minutes and six and a half, or whatever it was, from beating, that it wasn't as stressful as it could have been.
Yeah, stressful enough, to be honest with you. Let's go back to Matt O'Reilly. So, debut for the guy, 21 years of age, real baptism of fire stuff. I think the stats, you know, show that he was first overall for this, second for that, third for that. Really consistent performance. He created 8 chances overall. He's walked away with the Man of the Match award and certainly the most handsomest guy on the Park award. What was your take on his evening's work?
As I've seen earlier, it's what I was hoping for from him, that he would be that kind of player. But a real team player as well, and just gave absolutely everything. He made a fair point that he's never played in a crowd that big, against a crowd, you know, in that level of crowd, but also such an antagonistic and volatile crowd that the Tynecastle is.
I think they're a friendly bunch.
Just a pathetic bunch, man.
Yeah.
We'll just let that go. But he's handled that, and that's all new to him, and I think he got a buzz off it, actually, and he thrived on it. So, yeah, just to point out that the second league game running, a debutant has been Man of the Match, and that shows us we're signing the right guys and our manager knows what he's doing.
Yeah, we covered, obviously, you know, some of the new guys coming in, the likes of Rio Hatate and O'Reilly, on our weekly show. You can catch that on YouTube nowadays, by the way, as well, so be sure to check that out. Search for the Celtic Exchange on YouTube. But the suggestion, so we had Hamish from 67 Hail Hail on this week. He was talking about where we would be had we not signed the Japanese guys and O'Reilly. Who would have played tonight? Would your midfield have been Beaton, Sorrow and McCarthy, for example?
Aye.
Would you have lost that creativity? Imagine we didn't have Hatate and O'Reilly tonight. We'd have been really, really short. So, you know, and credit to Ange for doing that business early and for signing O'Reilly and making sure he was up to speed. But it just shows, again, how big a result this was and how, you know, skating on thin ice we have been, but we've managed to get those points.
There's a wee bit of, because of the nature of Ange coming in fairly late and having a frenetic transfer window in the summer, he obviously got his planning in place for the 3 Japanese guys to come in early, looking for a wee bit of a creative midfielder. Wasn't really looking like it was going to happen, and then Matt O'Reilly signs. There's just a slight element of laying the tracks in front of you as the train's still moving kind of thing. And once this window closes, that should all start to settle down as the players start to gel and bond and guys come back from injury and from international breaks and stuff like that.
Yeah, they've had to sign a lot of guys in a short space of time, and we'll review this at later stages, but by and large, they've mostly all been successful. There's one or two who haven't quite hit the ground running, but huge 75-80% of the new guys that have come in have done so, so well, and some have actually become, you know, fans' favourites very quickly. I just want to touch on one guy before we finish up for tonight, but Giakoumakis, he's obviously the match winner. He's got the goal that's ultimately sealed the 3 points. But he's offered more than that as the game's gone on. As mentioned, we're under the cosh at different times in the second half. And he's drawing fouls out of John Souter. He's taking a touch and hitting the deck and different things. And I thought he played a really intelligent role and showed a real bit of character the last 10, 15 minutes. What did you think of how he done overall?
Yeah, all of that, and the fitness as well, that you can run those 90 minutes, because there's, when someone's pulling and dragging you as a centre-forward, and the centre-half's all over you like that, it's physically exhausting. And the fact that he kept that intensity up for the full 90 minutes plus six just shows you how much work he's been putting in off the pitch. You know, like you said the other week, he's lost 8 kilos since he came to Celtic, you know, between his fitness and all that stuff. So I was really impressed with him. We've been waiting for him to turn up, and I think tonight is the first time he really turned up as a Celtic-level player.
Yeah, he can be really pleased with his night's work, and he's played a huge role in getting those 3 points. So we can't deny just how massive this could be tonight. Looking forward, we've obviously got Dundee United now on Saturday at Celtic Park. I'd said this before, but on paper, this should be more straightforward, but it will be a challenge. Up until tonight, United had lost 6 games in the bounce. Lo and behold, just before playing Celtic, they've found a win. So they won 2-1 tonight at home to Ross County.
We're 1-down as well.
Yeah, what kind of challenge do you think that'll be? And do you think the squad are capable of getting the 3 points again?
Yeah, I think there's a danger. And I think it's more from the fan side than I injured the players. But there is a danger. You can look at, well, I've got Hearts and I've got, you know, Rangers next week, and I've got Motherwell and Aberdeen away. I've got a game at home against the United. That should take care of itself, and it just won't. But what I really think it is an opportunity for us to see more of Hatate and O'Reilly and Giakoumakis and Jota coming back in again. So I think Celtic will start that game the way they finished the first half here at Tynecastle, and they'll be looking to rack up a few goals.
Yeah, I think the most important thing, you know, between now, so we're, you know, obviously late on Wednesday evening here, the most important thing over the next 48 hours ahead of Saturday, it's really just rest and recovery, isn't
Big
it?
Time.
I don't think there'll be a lot of heavy training. It'll be, you know, massage work and loosening off and working the pool and that kind of stuff, because guys like Hatate, guys like O'Reilly, and even Giakoumakis, it's, you know, it's getting quite a bruising shift. Mm. These guys will just be looking to keep themselves ticking over ahead of another big game.
That's it, and you could maybe even hear that from O'Reilly. That's who he was looking forward to the next couple of days. He said both his calves had seized up after, you know, having played for a couple of weeks. So there's a lot of that. I think Ange's actually referenced that as well, that he's not getting the time they would like on the training field, because it's more important these guys are freshened up for the game, because you're only ever getting 2 games between games. We've got 10 games in 33 days.
Right.
You know, so
I'll take your word for that.
That's the truth.
Yeah. I think we'll line up with a very similar team against United. I think my guess would be maybe a change in the forward positions, maybe a badder for Forrest. But I don't see much else changing. The midfield kind of picks itself because it has to. So touch wood, hopefully we've not picked up any injuries tonight, but just a huge game to get through, and obviously the 3 points are the be all and end all, but it's important. You know, it cut to Callum McGregor around about 15 minutes in. Geez, the boy's black and blue.
He's just sitting doing his wee jaw exercise, do you see him?
he's got a shiner, he's got the kind of yellow bruising coming out, and it's good to see him there playing his part, and he's still got a role to play, whether you're on the park
Absolutely.
Or not. A skipper's role is being around the team at all times and keeping them motivated. He'll have been in the, you know, the team hotel, the dressing room, on the bus, and he'll have been playing his part as much as anybody tonight.
Yeah, and I don't want to say lesser players, but, you know, maybe guys who don't have the kind of same attitude as McGregor maybe think, oh, I'll stay out the way, I'll rest and recuperate kind of thing, and he's just, that's never in his thought.
Yeah, and I think Tannadice isn't a place for shrinking violets, and I think he'll have given some of his players confidence. He'll have been, you know, one-to-ones with different guys, and I think we can't underestimate
the goals. Don't get a wee more for scribbling on and talking and stuff like
maybe
that.
Maybe he did, taking up the coach's role, but big night for everyone, big night for Callum McGregor, big night for Celtic, big night for Ange. So, we now move on, a big 3 points, and next up it's Dundee United at Celtic Park on Saturday. We'll be back with you for that one, but in the meantime, and as always, thanks for listening.
Sponsored by 1010 Podcasts.